It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 1230 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Boy, it's a pretty miserable day, huh? Yeah. It's dark. It's gray. If it's not wet, it's damp. We haven't had a whole lot of rain since early this morning, but the future forecast indicates more rain developing later in the day today, so we'll see what happens. I would keep the umbrellas handy. It's open talk to begin the program today. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. We will have guests later on the program today. We're going to be chatting, and this is, it's pretty topical. We're going to be talking about trauma and mental health and reaction to the massacre in Las Vegas, the murder of 58 people about a week and a half ago now. And there are a lot of people that are still having a hard time dealing with this. So we'll talk about it with a mental health professional today. Her name is Christine Forner, and she'll be joining us shortly after 1 o'clock this afternoon by telephone. She's not here in Butler, but we'll be chatting with her a little bit later on. Also today, Chef George Schroth is scheduled to stop in, fill us in on an event that's coming up at Tanglewood. Well, it's later this month. I'm not sure exactly when it is. It's a murder mystery type thing. So we'll talk to him about that a little bit later on the program today. But it's open talk to begin with. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. What's in the news? Pittsburgh Penguins at the White House yesterday. It astonishes me how so many people were trying to make something political out of this. The Penguins made it clear way back in mid-September, whenever they accepted the invitation to the White House to mark their winning of the Stanley Cup back in June, that it wasn't political. They were invited to the White House and they were going to go. Except the congratulations. They went last year when they won the Stanley Cup. President Barack Obama invited them, and that's become pretty standard procedure these days. I'm not quite sure when that started, but Penguin said, hey, we're going. We were invited. We'll take a look. Accept congratulations, and off they go. People have been trying to make a political thing out of it for the last couple of weeks, and they even were yesterday after the event. Let it go. I'm sure the Penguins are happy to let it go. They just want to play hockey. That's all they want to do at this point. Let's get to the people today. It's open talk. Phone number is 283-2525. And we have a caller who's waited patiently here through my preamble. Thank you for that, caller. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to know why our county commissioner had to go down to Washington, D.C. instead of staying up here. We pay her to go down to Washington, D.C. and take her husband. I mean, they're out of money. They don't have no money, but we're paying a county commissioner to go down there and sit and do nothing.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you're pretty upset about it.
Well, she should. I don't understand why she has anything to do. That's just like the mayor of Pittsburgh going down. They don't have nothing to do with the Penguins. Mayor didn't go down because he's a Democrat. Yeah, I understand. That doesn't like Trump. But why did she have to go down? That didn't make no sense. She complains about having no money, and then we had to pay her salary and take her husband down. Now, who paid for her husband to go down?
I don't know that, so I might be wrong to jump to conclusions on that. I do not know.
She should come up here and do her government business up here.
All right, my friend.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. I was trying to figure out the other day when, as I said, everybody seemed to be wanting to make a political thing out of this, which I thought was silly. When did the winners of championships start going to the White House? I have no idea when this started. And it has now spread to the point that if you win practically anything, you get to go to the White House. You get an invitation to the White House. I don't know. I should try to look up that picture. I'm sure that it went viral when it was when it happened. And I'm pretty sure it was President Barack Obama invited it was a collegiate women's soccer team or volleyball team or something that won a championship, and they were invited to the White House. And there's this picture of all of the women standing there with the president, and they were all wearing flip-flops. And my first reaction was, you know, that's hilarious. How could you possibly wear flip-flops to the White House? But we talked about it, and I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. But, I mean, this hasn't been going on forever. When the Pittsburgh Steelers were in their glory years back in the 70s when they started winning Super Bowls, they won, what, 4 Super Bowls in the 70s, is that right, with Chuck Knoll? You didn't go to the White House. You got a phone call in the locker room from the president, you know? And it was usually on TV. You know, they'd have the post-game show in the locker room, and there'd be champagne all over the place, and somebody'd hand Chuck Knoll a phone and said, Art Rooney, it's President Nixon, it's President Nixon. And he'd say, well, hello there, congratulations for winning the Super Bowl. That was it. You remember that? You used to get a phone call from the president. And somehow, somewhere, it evolved into you get an invitation to the White House. I don't know. See, I'm going into this with a built-in bias because I am very much opposed to a whole lot of celebrating. When I got in trouble last spring or this past summer, whenever they had the big parade down in Pittsburgh, I said, they just had a parade last summer. What are you having another one for? People all over the radio station here jumped on me. You know, I said, what a spoil sport you are. What are you doing? I said, well, I'm just not a guy for hoopla and a lot of celebrations. You know, you take the quiet satisfaction of doing what you did, whether it's win the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup or whatever, and, you know, you move on. And quite frankly, I think that Mike Sullivan, he couldn't be happier that this is over. Because what a distraction. The Penguins started out in a very rocky mode this season. They've had the cup all summer. Every player gets it for a day or two, right? You can take it. Sidney Crosby took it up to Nova Scotia. You take it all over the place. And then they had the banner raising last week at the PPG Paints Arena. Raised the banner, Stanley Cup champions, yada, yada. Proceeded to lose the game. They had the Stanley Cup out there on the ice with the spotlights and the lasers and everything. And now they had to do it all again yesterday. I'm sure all Mike Sullivan wants to do is to play hockey. Let's start focusing on hockey. This is last year, for goodness sakes. Forget about it. It's a new season. I'm sure that's all he wanted to do. And you could kind of tell, you see pictures of him or some of the video on TV last night. He was pretty relieved that this whole thing is over. Okay, let's play the Caps. Which they do tonight, by the way, in D.C. And we'll have the game here on WISR, too. Airtime at 7 o'clock. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello there.
Hi.
I have to agree with the other caller. I don't understand why our county commissioner went down to Washington yesterday, and I'm wondering, they said this was her third trip to Washington in the last year. Why did she go the other two times? And while she's there, is she doing anything about getting federal aid for our flood victims that we had in July? And I really don't understand why she went, and if she spent county money, I'm really against that.
Well,
okay.
Okay.
I hope the Penguins win tonight.
Okay, so do I. You know, you can be opposed to the trip, but I, you know, don't assume that it was county money. I have no idea. I have no idea. Many times when political representatives travel on their own, it's on their own expense, you know. Unless, of course, you're a member of Trump's cabinet when you take a military jet. Or Vice President Pence last wasn't that a piece of work last Sunday? And they as much as admitted it was a stunt afterwards. He was in Las Vegas. They flew Air Force Two to Indianapolis so he could be at the game for, 10 minutes and then leave, and then immediately fly back across the country to Los Angeles. All so that he could walk out after the national anthem was played. And it was a setup. They knew it was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. I don't know. If you talk about wasting travel money, take a look at some of that. And whatever that cabinet member was that resigned a couple of weeks ago, the bills that he rang up on government planes, instead of just taking a regular aircraft like anybody else would do. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525, open talk. In terms of governmental officials going to sports teams' celebrations, that's rather commonplace. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but that's rather commonplace, isn't it? For mayors and so on to go to the Super Bowl if their team is in the Super Bowl or something like that. Well, what do you think? 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
In response to Vice President Pence going to that game,
mm-hmm.
was there not another reason that he was there for a memorial or something that was going on?
Yeah, supposedly because they were honoring Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Who played, was it Peyton Manning? Is that right, Pat?
I believe so, yeah.
Who played for Indianapolis before he went to Denver, where he finished up his career. But he didn't even stay for that. That was at halftime. He didn't even stay for that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that
adds another, that adds another dimension to it, doesn't it?
I guess. But maybe he was offended, you know. Just the way it is going on, you know. I mean, these guys get paid big bucks, and they think, you know, they can do whatever they want.
Oh, believe me, I hear you on that. And there's a lot of people who are offended by that. There are a lot of veterans clubs around here, VFWs and Foreign Legion, American Legion. Who are on hiatus for showing NFL games on their TV sets on Sundays because they're offended. I understand that, and a lot of regular people are offended too.
Right.
But the problem is San Francisco was playing Indianapolis. San Francisco was the first team that started this.
That's true, yeah.
Colin Kaepernick was playing for San Francisco then.
Exactly.
I mean, he had to know they were going to do it. It was. I mean,
that's probably true. You're probably right.
If anybody was going to do it, it was going to be San Francisco. You know.
Yes. But I just knew that there was another reason that he was there, and I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, he said he wanted to. He said he planned for several weeks to go to this honoring of Peyton Manning at halftime, but he didn't stay for that. And if he wants to be upset, a lot of people are upset about this whole not standing at the national anthem. But I'm thinking about how much it costs to gas up Air Force Two and fly it from Las Vegas to Indianapolis for a 10-minute stunt and then fly it right back across the country again to Las Vegas. That's insanity.
Yeah, I hear you. I was just thinking that when you mentioned about that.
Yeah.
So, yes. But All right. Well, thank you for letting me express my thought.
Oh, please. Hey, that's what we do here. And it was nice. Okay. It was nice to talk to you.
You too, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Bye bye. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Yeah, never apologize for expressing your opinion on this show. That's what we do, for goodness sakes. Heaven. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Dave?
Yes?
I am very disturbed about this overdose business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should be given the same things that the, if you are drunk, you are arrested, you are sometimes put in jail, fined, and this overdose, they just revive them to put them back out on the street to do it again.
Oh, you're talking about the naloxone for heroin overdose victims?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a crime that the, you know, that they aren't given some like they do on for other things, that they just revive them and send them right out on the street again.
Well, I hear you, but let me make sure that I understand you totally here, because there's a distinction. You're saying that you're upset that they aren't arrested because they broke the law. You're not upset because they saved their life.
No, not that they saved their life, but if they want to do it and they're going to act like this, I say let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should we keep reviving them and just to do it again?
I've heard that sentiment expressed.
I don't smoke, I don't do any of that, but I have a scanner, and all this here overdosing is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all over the place. I can understand where people would be upset that they're revived, okay, they're brought back, otherwise they would have died, and I think that's a good thing, but I can understand where people would be upset that then they just walk away. I mean, if you overdosed on heroin, you broke the law, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I can see the point you're making there. But I don't know. I think we probably have a disagreement on the using the drug to revive people. A lot of people, when they get addicted to that stuff, they're practically helpless. And I know it's frustrating when you read reports of people who have been, you know, revived multiple times and just do it again. I mean, that's very frustrating, but I don't know. You're not the first person to express that opinion, let me tell you.
And
that.
It's not only the young people, it's the, 50, 60 years old.
Oh, it's mostly older people. It's mostly older people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they know better, or should know better, and why do they do it? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, my friend. She's not the first person who has expressed that opinion. Here on the program, not the first person, but I don't know if if you see somebody lying on the sidewalk, I think the thing to do would be, you know, if they're hit by a car, whatever, if they fall down, you help them up, right? But somebody that falls down 15 times. Okay, I can see. It's not the first time I've heard that feeling expressed. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. Phone number 283-2525. Let's go back to the people here. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Bert here, man. No, that subject that previous caller called about is pretty potent. It's like an abortion thing. You know, man, that's touchy, you know?
You mean?
But, what I called about?
Yes, go ahead.
What I called about was the people being rebellions against the Steelers. Now out here on Sundays in the fall, you know, I pull my hay rides and pumpkin picking.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the fields out there are all filled with black and gold jerseys on a Sunday, or no people out here at all because of the 1 o'clock football games. This Sunday there was no black and gold, and I wore my Jacksonville Jaguars shirt. No one complained. You know?
Wow. So you think that it's pretty widespread, this anti-Steeler feeling?
Like I say, usually 1 o'clock on the Sundays out here in the fall, the game's pretty well beat it up, you know? But and then you see black and gold everywhere, but no, it's definitely infiltrating through the system, Dave.
What about Jacksonville? Do they have any players who didn't stand?
I ain't got time to watch football like you, Dave. You know what I mean?
I don't watch it either. Well, you said you wore a Jacksonville jersey.
Oh, I was down in Jacksonville in 2003, and they had a terrible season. I picked up a Mark Brunell one because I like Mark Brunell, you know?
Well, there's a name out of the past.
Yeah, I like left-handed quarterbacks, you know, him and Kenny Stabler, you know? So.
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, I thought I'd rattle your chain. About twice a year I do that to you.
That's okay, and I appreciate it, too.
For a while, Dave.
Okay, my friend, I'll see you later.
Yeah, thanks.
283-2525. I have not run into that in my circle of acquaintances, but I know that it's going on in some places. Well, it's going on in a lot of the veterans clubs, that's for sure. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Thanks for waiting, by the way. You're on the air.
That's okay, Dave. Hey, listen, this Narcan thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. They should be revived, of course. But if I go up down Main Street, Butler, right now, and I'm falling down over drunk, and falling on the street, or I'm just laying there passed out, first thing they're going to do is they're going to take me up to Butler Hospital. You know, then the next thing they're going to do, they're going to cite me or put me in jail.
True.
For public drunkenness. Why can't they do that with those guys? Us taxpayers, we're paying that.
It's an excellent question. I can see where you're coming from. In fact, I raised it with that caller two or three calls ago. If you're using heroin, you're breaking the law, right? It's a controlled substance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drug offense.
Yeah. Revive them, of course, but you know there should be some type of repercussion. They should be arrested. Public disorder. You know, using illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're not doing that. I just don't get that. You know, from my understanding, it's about $70 for every shot. But there's also the ambulance has to go there or the police have to go there. It costs us taxpayers money, and I don't think they're handling that right at all.
When you add it up, there is a financial impact. I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
Oh, there is. I mean, I don't know who's thinking these things up, but it costs us a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, there's one or two, I think, a day in Butler.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but even one a day. That's probably a couple $100 that we're paying out.
Thanks for the call, my friend. I hear what you're saying. I hear you.
All right, later.
Bye. Later. I have a note from our newsroom. Two of our sister stations, WBUT 1050 AM and the Rock Station 97.7 FM, are currently off the air due to a power outage in Center Township. Center Township, they're still online. Most of them online, but they're not broadcasting, and we have no indication yet as to what the power outage is all about. Could be somebody hitting a pole. Could be lightning. There's no lightning around. It might be later in the day. Well, anyway, I just wanted to give you that update. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the program today. The Wednesday It's Your Turn program. Happy birthday today to William Perry. Why would I mention him? Well, he's a former cabinet officer, former Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense, that's an important cabinet office, Secretary Perry. He's also a graduate of Butler High School. Distinguished Graduate Award at Butler High several years ago, William Perry. He's 90 today. Happy birthday. 283-2525, back to the phones we go. Open talk, 283-2525. Hi, caller, this is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave, this is John. How you doing, sir?
Good, John. Nice to talk with you.
This is my first time. I'm not too sure what you all talk about here, but I was going down the road over here near 8 Plus to one of the side streets here, and I hit a big old pothole. I was wondering if anybody's out there that we can get some help filling in these potholes. I had broken a spring in my car.
Oh, wow. What street were you on, do you know?
Over near the Grapevine, that road there near the Grapevine.
Elm Street, huh?
Yeah, and it's a dip in the road there, and that's where I broke my spring, and I was wondering if we can get the city or the county or somebody to fix these potholes in here.
Well, that would be a city street, and quite frankly, yeah. I'm sure that if you made a quick call to the city building, they would get somebody on it, because I've done that before for potholes in the city, and they've been fixed pronto, so especially if it's
bad enough. Can I ask you, do you have a number for them?
I do not, no. Off the top of my head, I don't know the city building number.
It'll be on what? You look up city department, or?
In the phone book, there's the government pages in the beginning. I think they're blue, I don't know. But look under city government, Butler City, and it would have city building there.
Okay. Well, that's one thing I wanted to bring up. You know, I usually don't complain, but it cost me quite a bit of money to fix that.
Oh, absolutely. I can understand that you'd be concerned. And I have called the city before with regard to a bad pothole. In fact, I've even had folks on from the city streets department, and they say they want to know if there's a bad pothole.
What I'll do is I'll get right on this. I'm going to call right now and see what they can do and let them know that it cost me quite a bit to fix that.
Just hang on for a second. I got the phone number for you here. How's that?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, there's no charge for this either, just so you know.
Hey, the text in the mail.
It's 285...
285-4124. Okay, I'm going to call them right now.
Okay, there you go, my friend.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad that you took my call, and I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks. I tell you what, I've hit potholes sometimes, and I don't think I ever broke a spring. I broke a tie rod once on one. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world, but it was, you know, it wasn't cheap either. Plus, you can't drive it, you know. You got to get it towed. We're into the pothole season. The worst one is in the spring when we're coming out of winter, usually late March, when you start to get the freeze-thaw cycle. But there is a period in the fall, too, where you start to get them. Haven't had a whole lot of cold weather yet. A couple of weeks ago, we had 2 days in a row with frost here in the city, but that's about it. But they'll help you out there. I've done it, so I know they will. 283-2525, our number. Open talk today. What else did I want to tell you here? I had something else. When I mentioned that it was William Perry's birthday. Today would have been the birthday of the late Eleanor Roosevelt, First Lady, wife of FDR, of course. Born on this date in 1884, Eleanor Roosevelt was in our WISR studios once. She lived almost 20 years longer than FDR. FDR died 1945, shortly after he was reelected to his fourth term. He was actually very, very ill, and they didn't let anybody know about it. He died shortly thereafter. Harry Truman took over. That was in the mid-40s. Eleanor Roosevelt lived until the early 60s. When exactly she was in Butler? It was in the 50s, I believe, but I'm not sure on that. She was quite the ambassador for a number of causes following the death of her husband. She, of course, was no longer in the White House. Harry Truman and... what was his wife's name? Getting ready for trivia night for Connecting to Tomorrow. Bess, right? Bess Truman? Is that it? That sounds like a nickname, though. Bess. That's short for what? Elizabeth? I don't know. Bess? Pretty sure that was her name, Bess Truman. We need to take a break. We are close to the time where we're going to be chatting with our first guest today. And we're going to be talking about a pretty important topic and something that a lot of people are still struggling with in the wake of the massacre in Las Vegas. And that's the grief. You know, there are certain things. You know, I life goes on. I wasn't dwelling on it every moment of the day until this past weekend when my weekly news magazine arrived, and they had the authorities have put up a billboard in Las Vegas because they're still looking for information from anybody who may have known this murderer. And they had a billboard that had photographs, headshots of 45 of the victims. 45 out of the 58 people that were murdered. Full-color photographs. And they had a picture of this billboard in the news magazine. I mean, it's just... talk about personalizing the massacre. You know, there's these pictures of all these people, 45 of them, dead within a couple of minutes. And there were still some more, obviously. There were 58 murdered altogether, so there would have been 13 more. So that brought it back to me. And I've seen some other stuff on TV that brings back previous mass shootings in the United States. We had Orlando, we had the church in South Carolina, we had San Bernardino. For me, the most tragic one is Sandy Hook, with those little kids, kindergartners and first graders. And you know. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? We'll talk to a mental health professional coming up on the program in just a couple of minutes. Her name is Christine Forner, and maybe she'll have some advice for us on dealing with this and dealing with trauma and grief and so on. And I want to ask her, too, about what do you tell kids, young people? I'm talking about, you know, elementary kids, fourth, fifth, sixth graders. They know about this. It's all over TV. How do you broach the subject with them? So we'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. And then still later on the program, we'll be talking about an event coming up at Tanglewood. They're doing a murder mystery or something down there, right? Dinner show, dinner theater. One of our sponsors on the program today, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And they'd just like to ask you, if you're doing any cleanup in preparation for the holidays, you know, we're almost to the middle of October. I don't want to scare you or anything, but Thanksgiving is the start of the holiday season, right? Right? It'll be here before you know it. So if you're doing some cleaning, the guest bedroom or the closet or just general cleanup, consider donating unwanted and unused items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. For two reasons. If you don't want them, you're just going to throw them away. They go to the landfill. And we don't need to put any extra stuff into the landfill that we don't have to. Number two, they can sell these items. There are people who can use them. They can buy them at a price that ordinarily they wouldn't have been able to afford. And here's the real kicker. All of the proceeds from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store, every penny stays right here in Butler. It helps to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid programs. So it's a win-win all the way around, right? Because you were going to throw stuff away anyway. Clothing, furniture, knickknacks, whatever. They'll take it all. Not TVs anymore, but just about anything else. As a matter of fact, if you've got a lot of stuff, furniture, I was talking to a lady a year or so ago who had a whole dining room layout. You know, table, chairs, buffet, the whole schmear. And I said, call them. They'll come with their truck and pick it up. And that's what they did, and she was very grateful. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, their thrift stores in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 south of Butler. Just a couple of doors up from the Friedman's Fresh Market store. And there's tons of free parking right at the door. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. We'll be back to talk with our first guest on the program today in just a moment.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
I can't think of a topic that could be, well, better to discuss at this time, listeners, where a short time now after the massacre in Las Vegas, but it's still affecting a lot of people a great deal. And that's just what we're going to discuss today here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Christine Forner, and she visits with us by telephone today. First of all, Christine, hello. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Christine is a mental health professional. Listeners, has more than 17 years of clinical experience working with individuals with trauma and developmental trauma. And she has also written a book entitled Dissociation, Mindfulness, and Creative Meditations. Before we go any further, Christine, let me ask you about your title. I know what mindfulness is. I can kind of take a pretty good guess at creative meditations. What's dissociation? What's that mean?
Dissociation is, it's actually a neurobiological state that we can be in when we are overwhelmed or extremely overwhelmed or have nowhere else to go. It's the freeze part of the fight and flight freeze defense mechanisms. And dissociation itself can be very opposite to mindfulness. And dissociation in itself can actually prevent mindfulness from occurring.
So we can block something out, kind of like put it away in the closet and not think about it?
Kind of, yeah. But it actually happens on a very automatic place inside of us, so that if that information or if that experience or if that that event is too much, like if the automatic system decides that in knowing about this is going to cause us more harm than not knowing, it will not know. So it's actually our last line of defense, and it's our grandest line of safety mechanism to help us survive something that may be otherwise unsurvivable.
In the wake of the massacre in Las Vegas, the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history, by the way, 58 people were murdered. A lot of people, I know, and we're almost a couple of weeks past it now, a lot of people are still dealing with this on a daily basis. They find it difficult to go on. They find it difficult to turn on the news on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's really important to understand about humans is that we are the most social creature on the planet. We need people more than we need food or clothing or shelter. And I realize that's a really weighty statement, and it's very hard for some of us to really wrap our minds around that. But when we are growing and developing, and when we are the human species that we are, we really do need people. And so when people that we either know or don't know are harmed or injured in a really unpredictable, either a little or a lot, and if you yourself have gone through anything that is even remotely close to not feeling safe in this world, those feelings can come up as well. So you can have this ripple effect of not only the event itself, but the many other events that we have that make us feel unsafe in this world.
You say, Christine Forner, that it is very important to deal with it. We should not take this lightly. We do need to grieve. We do need to think about this.
We do. We assume once we're adults that our mind or our thinking or our words are sort of the grandest thing that make humans humans, and that that's actually our first language is emotion, and our first language is trying to process emotions, and we need to learn how to know how to emote intelligently. And when we grieve, that's why it's so important to emote intelligently or know how to emote intelligently, because emotions are actually going to try and help us get through this. But we have to be able to express them. We have to be able to have those ugly cries or to have that intense feeling of rage. And we have to be able to let those feelings flow through us as a way of healing and repairing and sort of rearranging the new reality of our lives.
Do some people actually feel guilty about going on with their lives in the wake of a horrible tragedy or massacre like this?
I think a lot of people feel guilty, particularly people who actually walked away from that event. And I'm sure that they're all going to be thinking, you know, why did I survive and why did that other person not survive? And guilt is, you know, I think there's lots of things happening when we feel guilty, but some of it is a way of being able to process the enormity of knowing I lived and someone else didn't, and it was kind of a random thing of why I lived and why they didn't. Humans don't really like random. We like to think and analyze and make meaning and context out of the events. That actually meaning and context also makes us feel safer, just the way that we process information. And so working through guilty feelings is actually probably in part a way of making new meaning and making new context in light of these life-altering events.
I've heard of a similar condition from people who survived a plane crash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is just, you know, 5 minutes before we were okay, 5 minutes after we're not.
Yeah.
And how do we make sense of being not okay or having this so brush with death or this new awareness that we're mortal or vulnerable? And part of that is working through those feelings and those thoughts and those experiences of survival.
So this is hardwired into all of us of the human species, this need to be deeply connected. We are social beings, and we should recognize that empathy is good, connection is good. On the other hand, I mean, there's a balance between empathy and living. We have to work, we have to eat, we have to go on with our lives.
Yes, after a lot of tragedies, there's some research that's being done that how we kind of get over these things is movement. The body actually feels better when it can move. It doesn't like being frozen in a state of dissociation. It may not know how to get out of dissociation, but it doesn't like being in dissociation. And movement actually helps us heal. It helps us repair. It helps us move forward. It helps us get on with things, which is actually very helpful. So there needs to be a very good balance of taking those moments of grieving, of being able to process. But it is also very important to keep moving.
I've had that feeling in a situation like this, not this particular incident, but other extremely tragic events where you find yourself riveted in front of the TV. You know, you might be sitting there in the recliner for hours, and then finally you get up and you say, gosh, I've got to move. I've got to get out of this mode here.
Yeah, yeah. And if you think about it, what's hardwired in us is also the experience of being predator and prey. A long, 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 long time ago, we were not the greatest. We don't do very well on our own. We don't have very good claws. We don't have very good teeth. We don't really have muscle strength. We're not very fast. And so what helps us feel better after something, after these types of brushes, is being connected to other people, being in relationship with other people, but also moving forward.
Listeners, I have a few more questions for our guest, Christine Forner. We need to take a quick break here, so we'll do that, and we'll pick up our conversation with her on this important topic, mental health in the wake of Las Vegas. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be right back after these words. If I asked you what you were looking for in a hearing aid, and you know, if you're having trouble hearing and you're thinking about a hearing aid, what do you want? Well, first of all, you want to be able to hear, right? Yeah. Let me suggest a consultation, complimentary consultation, by the way, with the hearing aid service by Kelly, the hearing aid lady. You'll get personalized one-on-one care, just you and Kelly. Your hearing aid will be measured to fit your ear. You'll not only be able to hear better, she'll make sure it's comfortable. A lot of folks get a hearing aid and they don't wear it because they hurt. They're uncomfortable. Kelly will take the time to make sure everything is just the way you want it. She's interested in helping you to hear better and be comfortable. She's not interested in selling you the highest priced hearing aid. In fact, you'll save thousands because there's no overhead. And by the way, you heard that correctly, thousands. Yeah. As I mentioned, a complimentary consultation. Look, I mean, what do you have to lose? People who have made the change, who have consulted with Kelly, are so happy that they did. Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E. Call the hearing aid lady. Kelly, hearing aid service by Kelly, 724-756-4327. 756-4327. One of our other sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is DBS Telecommunications. They're good friends of ours here at the Butler Radio Group. They're a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer. You can imagine that we need a lot of that here at the radio station, actually three radio stations in our building. And we have utilized the expertise of the technicians from DBS Telecommunications for many, many years. They've been serving our area for the past 32 years, not only Butler, Pittsburgh area too. What do? DBS Telecommunications sells, installs, and repairs telephones for your office. They install commercial telephone and voicemail systems, custom-designed networks, including fiber optics, high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, five-year warranties. And what about surveillance systems? Boy, it seems like everybody needs those these days. They don't have just surveillance camera systems. They have high-definition surveillance camera systems. They can fix you up with multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They even do cabling for voice, data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. Boy, they do good work. They do. DBS Telecommunications. Call them today. See what they can do for you. 724-285-9088. 285-9088. You can also get more information on the web at dbs-tel.com. Welcome back. If you're joining us a little bit late here on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR today, that's fine. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is Christine Forner. If you're looking for her online or looking for her book, Dissociation, Mindfulness, and Creative Meditations. Her last name is spelled F-O-R-N-E-R, Christine Forner. She is a mental health professional, more than 17 years of clinical experience working with individuals with trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. Let me ask you about that straight away, because I don't know whether I'm barking up the wrong tree here or not, but as I pondered this horrible massacre in Las Vegas, I couldn't help but think once again of some of the more recent tragedies. Sandy Hook, with these little kindergarten kids shot. There was a story a few years ago of seven or eight Amish girls who were lined up against a school building and shot. And, you know, these are things that happened some time ago, but the Las Vegas thing brought it back to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it does. It accumulates. Our level for stress, like you know, the human body is only supposed to be experiencing these post traumas or these traumas just a few times in a lifetime, and it does take a very intense toll when it happens over and over and over and over again, and sometimes it really makes it hard for the human body to recuperate or to heal or repair after these events. So you may find that you did okay after event 1, 2, and 3, but you're not doing so well after 4, 5, and 6. Mm. And that's when I would recommend going and seeking mental health professional or developing some type of practice where you're able to sit and experience yourself and feel what you feel and try and tap into what it is that you are experiencing so that your body can help clean out or clear out the accumulation of stress that these events have on us.
So that's why it's so important with the veterans from the military and the post-traumatic stress disorder. I've talked with VA professionals, and they say sometimes this doesn't present until years, decades afterwards,
yeah.
And suddenly there it is, you know.
Yeah, and post-traumatic stress disorder isn't just for the military. It's just that they have experienced stress that is very tangible, that we can see. But anybody who has had a trauma, and what that basically means is when the deep hardwiring neurobiological system has reached its limit, that it becomes overwhelmed, that it can no longer recuperate or heal or repair or get itself back to okay. So that's what a trauma is. So a trauma doesn't necessarily have to be an external source of physical impact. It can actually be an internal source of emotional impact. It can be an internal source of neglect. But these things do create inside of us a ripple effect that needs help in healing and repairing, but also can accumulate and happen 20, 30 years later.
What about kids? I don't know whether this is in your particular area of focus, Christine Forner, but I couldn't help but think about this. Families who have kids, especially in elementary age, maybe late elementary mm-hmm. school, I mean, they've got to be aware of this. It's all over TV, something like this. Goodness yeah. gracious, what, you know, how do you even begin to try to explain it to them? And they may be grieving in a totally different way from you, right?
They may. I think what's actually probably more important for children is that they're actually experiencing insecurity and not being safe in the world. And we don't grow and develop all that well when we are experiencing that lack of safety. So if a child is not feeling safe, what their backup plan is actually human beings. So for a child, sometimes you don't even really have to talk about what happened more than you have to help that child feel safe again. There is some benefit to being a child because you can actually hold that child and help them feel safe. And in that holding or in that explaining, just saying, you know, you are safe right now, you are okay right now, their systems are designed to believe everything we say and hear everything we say and follow everything we say. And so those kids can actually start feeling safe in that world if they feel safe in your arm. It's a little bit harder as adults because we now have grander knowledge to be going, you know, we are actually really quite vulnerable a lot of the time. So for kids, it's not necessarily talking about safety. It's actually doing the safety. Helping that child feel safe in the world again can help kids start becoming a bit more resilient or working through this.
It is important for adults, though, to realize and remember
yeah.
that the you know, one of our greatest backup systems is trust in a family member, a spouse, a partner, a friend. You know, I mean, there was an old breakfast cereal commercial that used to say it's not just for kids anymore.
That is actually humans. Human-to-human harm does the most damage to us, but human-to-human care does the most repairing. And I think that that people is our backup plan because we need them so badly. Oftentimes, just even having gentle eye contact. So if someone in your family is having a really hard time with this, just the sitting with them and looking them in the eye and just reflecting or looking at how much you like them or care for them can be very healing and very repairing for that person who's having that distress. And not necessarily dismissing and telling them, you know, just get over it or it wasn't that close, but just taking a few minutes and appreciating the being that being is can be very, very healing.
Humans don't always deal well with emotions, and there are emotions other than pain and sadness and fear that come up in the wake of a horrible tragedy like this. A lot of folks, and I've talked to a number of people who say they feel powerless. They feel hopeless because, you know, it seems like, you know, I've heard many people say this, sadly, well, we know it's going to happen again. I feel powerless, you know.
Yes, and I think that is a sign or a symptom of the amount of stress that is happening in the wake of all of these events, is that the ability to be able to be mobile, the ability to be able to fight back is now no longer really becoming an option. And that's when we start to consider that possibly dissociation is happening. Because, like, what happens, a good way of looking at dissociation is that when you're out and about in the forest and a saber-toothed tiger comes up to you, one of our instincts is to hide and be invisible. Another one is to run. Another one is to fight. Running and fighting, if they're successful, you're good. But if that tiger has gotten you, you cannot run and you cannot fight because those things will actually hurt you quicker because that predator is going to realize that you're still alive
mm-hmm.
and that predator doesn't want you alive. So dissociation is our playing dead. It's feigning death. And what emotions match that are the emotions of helplessness and hopelessness because they are actually beneficial when we're that close to not doing well or that when we're sort of near the end or in that tiger's mouth. And so if you're feeling helpless and hopeless, I would actually suggest kind of honoring the overwhelm that you are experiencing, taking a few minutes and possibly saying, holy cow, I feel really, really bad. And in giving yourself that permission to say, okay, I'm actually not feeling that well, maybe I just need to be a little slower or just sort of protect myself a little bit more or my family a little bit more, often just giving yourself that extra sense of scaffolding safety can help the body move through that and start taking agency again, or start moving or feeling mobile again.
Mental health in the wake of Las Vegas has been our focus here today. But listeners, I want to take a minute or two and talk about Christine Forner's book, Dissociation, Mindfulness, and Creative Meditations. What else can we take from your book, Christine? Does this apply in other areas of our lives apart from what we've been talking about here today?
It does. What I really try to describe in the book is what mindfulness really is neurobiologically, not just the practice of meditation, but looking at the what is hardwired into us in learning to be mindful. And then I do talk about how dissociation can prevent mindfulness from happening. I do go a little into the technical. There's a couple chapters on the technical aspects of dissociation, but the most rest of it is if you're having trouble with mindfulness, if you're having trouble of not knowing how to get to mindfulness, my book really helps to describe in with metaphors and analogies what mindfulness is, how dissociation stops. I go from mild dissociation all the way to extreme dissociation, and then how to sort of help the body get back with creative meditations on being able to have a practice of mindfulness, because mindfulness really is the cure of dissociation, because they are rival brain activities, and mindfulness can help us work through these very large or very massive tragedies.
I have had some problems in personally in my life in trying to make time for mindfulness and creative meditations. We're so, most of us in America, they're so helter-skelter. We're so heavily scheduled. We're so busy that I don't know whether it goes back to, the olden days when you used to get criticized for daydreaming. You need to make a little time for thinking once in a while in your life, don't you?
Yeah, I think that actually daydreaming is a healthy, there's healthy daydreaming and unhealthy daydreaming. The when we're on autopilot, that's actually kind of a healthy reparative thing. But when we are too stressed out, we actually may be daydreaming in an unhealthy way. But the suggestions that I make is even just starting with a minute a day, 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, and then expanding not the meditation practice of sitting and doing a mindfulness meditation for half an hour, but I'm talking about how to just drop your awareness into, like, your heartbeat or your breath or your stomach. Those are all actually internal forms of mindfulness that we can do while we're driving, or we can take 2 minutes out and do while we're walking, or we can do the creative meditation where we just creatively imagine that we're breathing in colored air. Those things can all help build the meditation muscles, or that mindfulness muscles.
Sound interesting, listeners? You bet. Her book is Dissociation, Mindfulness, and Creative Meditations. Christine Forner, and she's been our guest here on It's Your Turn for the last few minutes. Christine, nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me here, and I send out a deep felt big hug to everybody.
Oh, that's nice. So long now.
Thank you.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement. allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Put your trivia knowledge to the test and help a great cause at the same time at Connecting to Tomorrow's Trivia Night, Saturday, October 21st. Doors open at 6 at the Lindora American Legion Hall. Tickets are $15 each, and you can have up to 8 players per team. It's BYOB, adults only, and food will be available. Proceeds benefit Connecting to Tomorrow's mentoring programs. You can get tickets at Maze Music, the Butler Media Group, or call 724-431-6025.
Back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Several guests join us on the next segment of the program, as we're going to update you on a number of events coming up over the next several weeks, both at Tanglewood Center and at other venues, including New Haven Court. So let's say hello to our guests. First of all, we welcome Chef George Schroth. George, always good to see you.
Hello, glad to be here.
Yeah, and when I see you, I think there's going to be food.
Food, I should have brought food.
Well, I know we're going to be talking about food in one
Certainly.
Form or another. Yes. Good to see you. Also with us is Marlena Garver. Have I that right, Marlena?
Yeah, Garver? Marlena Garver, yeah. Thanks.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And we have two guests from New Haven Court at Clearview that I haven't seen in a long time. Gary Remnick, how many years since you and I have said hello?
Well, Dave, it's been quite a few years. You used to come up to New Haven and when I was an activities director there and give a presentation on Ireland. I mean, you're talking 15 years, maybe?
I was going to guess at least 10.
12 years? Yeah. Great to see you. Thanks
same,
for having me.
Same. And Tracy Wenzel is here, too, from New Haven. Tracy, good to see you.
Yeah, hi. Yeah,
good to see you. Well, let's start, first of all, George, there's a big event coming up, a dinner theater thing at Tanglewood, right?
Yes, dinner theater. We have that coming up. That's going to be on the... date is the 21st, October 21st. It's a dinner show featuring Mystery's Most Wanted group from Pittsburgh, and it's going to be Murder, Call in Murder 3D. And then they sit at a table, and we serve food to them from a buffet, and the actors go around to the table and start their presentation. Mm. Goes over very well. We've had two or three of them in the last few years.
I've been to one. Yeah,
they've all been great. Yeah.
That's a Saturday. So it's not this Saturday, but it's the one after that.
Right. This Saturday is our dinner dance with one of your favorite Mr. Sixties from the radio station
here
as a guest DJ. So he's going to be down there playing spinning records for us, and that works out real well for us because he's a fantastic promoter.
You know, we have to talk a little bit about Tanglewood because there's a lot of people that don't realize what goes on there. They still think of Tanglewood as just a senior center.
Yes, we house a senior center, and we're very proud of that, and we support them in every way we can. But we also are called Tanglewood Center, and we promote ourselves through dances and programs like the Murder Mysteries and things like that, several other dances, and we raise money and use it towards supporting the community in other ways.
It's really become an entertainment venue
basically
over
an
the past
venue.
Few years.
Yes.
Certainly in the past year or so. You've got a lot of stuff down there.
That's it. And it is open to the public. Many people think you have to be a member. You do not have to be a member. You're welcome to come. All of our events are BYOB. We supply the food, the entertainment, and you supply the fun.
Well, it's certainly a large enough venue for anything you want to do down there.
Yes, we sit about 300 people.
Yeah. Tanglewood Center, I'm just assuming everyone knows where that is. It's just off Hanson Avenue.
Yes.
In Butler, and it is a large facility. So first things first, that would be the dinner dance with Mr. Sixties. Heck, that's just a few days away. Saturday, yeah.
And we have a great menu for that because it's October. We're doing pork and sauerkraut, chicken breast stuffed with Bavarian ham stuffing, cheesy mashed potatoes, buttered harvest sweet corn, scalloped apples, Amish coleslaw, pumpernickel bread, and German chocolate cake.
I had just a very light lunch, and it was about 3 hours ago, and my mouth is watering just listening to you go down through that menu there. Wow. Chicken breast with Bavarian ham stuffing, roast pork, and sauerkraut. I wouldn't even need anything else. That's good enough for me. That's price of admission right there. Do you have to buy tickets in advance for this, or can you get them at the door?
You can certainly call and make reservations. That's good, too. But I usually make enough that if folks walk in, I'm okay.
So that's this Saturday. And then the following Saturday, the 21st,
we're having a...
that's the dinner theater.
Well, dinner theater. And on Wednesday before the dinner theater, I'm adding a dinner open to the public this week called Family and Friends. For all the people I announced at the Pork Chop Dinner, I have to have another dinner this month because the first 2 weeks of next month are taken up by the Rotary Club is having their pancake social for Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are having a seminar down there from somewhere.
So that would ordinarily be your first Wednesday of the month.
Right, it would be.
Stuffed pork chop and meatloaf dinner.
That's right. And we're booked up that day, so we have to move our date.
And so the new date is?
Would be the 18th, I believe. I don't have a date on the flyer, but it is the 18th of next month.
That's next week. Week from?
No, next month. Oh, the new one, yes, will be this third Wednesday this month.
Okay. Yeah. And then there'll be another one, but it'll be later in November than ordinarily would
later
have been.
Later than normal because the first 2 weeks are taken up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Election Day.
Yeah.
That's sometimes it falls that way and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
Okay, those are some things coming up at Tanglewood Center. We got some other stuff cooking here. Marlena Garver, you've got something coming up to benefit a very good cause.
Yeah.
What do you got going?
It's the Halloween Dinner Dance to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. And 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the Wounded Warrior Project. And that's on October 28th. That's the Saturday before Halloween. And it's at the Tanglewood. Our doors open at 5. We're having a complete dinner at 6 by Chef George. What are we doing stuffed pork chops?
I think we are doing a stuffed pork chop for that because it's popular anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. And we're going to have, snacks and water throughout the night, but it's also BYOB. So you can bring anything you want to drink, but it is an over 21 event, so bring your ID.
So there's a dinner. I have to design my costume so that I can eat with my mask on.
Well.
Well, it's a Halloween dinner dance.
It is. Yeah, you don't have to get dressed up. But
you could if you wanted to.
Yes, because we are having a costume contest also.
Oh.
And we're having a DJ. We have DJ O'Hara. He's a great DJ. He plays out at the Beacon and at Vin and Joe's. He's fabulous. He starts at 7. We also have a 50-50 raffle, and we have a basket raffle, which we've gotten such great donations from people and organizations in the community. Do you mind if I say a couple things?
Please, right ahead. Yeah.
Okay, I just threw some stuff together. We still have stuff coming in, and this isn't a complete list, but we have a foursome of golf at the Lake Arthur Golf Club with a cart. We have golf items from All About Golf. We have jewelry from Amy Jewelry Company. We have a bunch of items from Miller Lite and Labatt Blue Beer. We have passes to Living Treasures Animal Park, flags from State Representative Brian Ellis, a basket from the Cool Springs Corn Maze, which includes passes, basket from First National Bank, basket from Deer Creek Winery. We have a donation from Barkus Chocolates. I mean, we just have a lot of stuff. And also, Jeff Double is our silver sponsor. He owns All About Reclaimed.
I know Jeff,
Yeah. He is collaborating on the decorations. And he's also creating the centerpieces for all the tables. They're like a Halloween-themed centerpieces. And he's going to have those for sale at the event. And he is donating that money back to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Hmm. First time I met Jeff, I think he had just opened up his business downtown, I believe. And he brought some of his work in. Brought in a couple of centerpieces here. And, man, the folks here at the radio station just went bonkers over that stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He does. He has really nice stuff. But
so that'll be for sale afterwards, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you got some pretty nice basket raffle stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in costume if you so desire.
Right.
See, Turner Classic Movies, which is my favorite TV channel of all time. It's about all I watch anymore, to be honest with you. Dracula is the monster of the month.
Oh.
So I've already seen about five Dracula films already, and it's only, the 11th of October. So I'm really into Dracula. I see you got the bat here on your poster.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm really into Dracula.
Yeah.
Maybe by Halloween I'll be out of Dracula. It'll be passé. This benefits the Wounded Warrior Project. Tell us what that's all about, Marlena.
Well, we picked the Wounded Warrior Project because we have such great respect for our veterans. And, you know, we have friends and family that have been in the military. I know my fiancé's father was in World War II. My father was in the Navy during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm.
My daughter's father was in the Air Force. So it's just a great organization. Any organization that helps the veterans, I mean, I think is a wonderful cause. And that's one other thing that I want to say about our benefit. I know there's a lot of places to go for Halloween. There's a lot of things open. You know, the bars are having a lot of things. And I'm not dissing the bars. We go out. We have a good time. Actually, my family used to own a bar years ago. But if you go to a bar, you're going to spend like $10-$20 to walk in the door. They're going to have entertainment. They want you to buy your drinks there all night. You know, they're not going to give you a complete dinner like we are going to. They might give you snacks. So, and it's a late night. You know, DJ comes on like 8, 9 o'clock at a bar. Ours is earlier. Doors open at 5, dinner at 6, DJ from 7 to 11. We're going to have the 50-50 raffle and the basket raffle and the costume contest, like right in the middle of that time. And, you know, we're going to be done by 11. So you will spend as much money or less at our benefit than you would spend out anywhere else on Halloween. So if you're going to go out for Halloween, come out for a good cause. And I will say this, too, because we were talking about it earlier. If you do come out and you still want to go out, the 11th frame up the street is having a Halloween party. And I don't mean giving them a plug because they actually donated to us. So,
you need to get tickets in advance for this, Marlena?
I would like it just because the Tanglewood will only hold so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to turn anybody away. I mean, we have such great items in the raffle.
Then they're going to have a dinner, so you have to have a ballpark figure of how many people are going to be there.
Correct, correct. So if you know that you're coming, you know, if you know that you're going to get like a table or a half a table, any more than a couple tickets, you know, you can message me on Facebook. You can call the Tanglewood. They have tickets there for cash. You can also get them at Amy Jewelry Company. They're open a little bit later, and they're open on Saturdays too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell them that, you know, Marlena said that I can maybe get a discount if I buy more than a couple tickets, they can get a hold of me, and I can make I can make a deal. Because I don't want to turn anybody away. I don't want to be counting heads and then say, okay, we're at capacity, and turn people away. Because I really want to see a lot of people out for this.
This is the Saturday of Halloween weekend.
It is.
A lot of people are looking for a good time that night.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good time and helping a good cause at the same time.
That's what I think, yep. Yeah.
Wounded Warrior Project. I want to talk about, remind me to ask you about your dad before we wrap up here today.
Oh, okay.
But I want to turn to our other guests who are with us here, Tracy Venzel and Gary Renwick from New Haven Court at Clearview. Gary, you've got something coming up. We got stuff coming up all over the place here this month.
We do. It's a busy, busy month.
What do you got going?
So first, we want to talk about and promote our Medicare 101 seminar that we're hosting at New Haven Court at Clearview. New Haven Court at Clearview is located right behind the Clearview Mall off of Hendricks Road, if anybody's not aware of that. We are a senior living and memory care community, but we are hosting a Medicare seminar for our residents and anybody from the community. And Chuck Rubino is going to be our speaker that evening, and he's going to give you the 101 on Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans and supplemental Medigap plans, enrollment periods. A lot of seniors have a lot of questions about that.
What's the date for that again, Gary?
That is next Monday, October 16th at 6:30 p.m., and again, that'll be at New Haven.
This is the time of the year when seniors are being peppered. No, they're being bombarded with the information and mailers and phone calls and everything else, because this is it's about to be the enrollment period, isn't it?
It is. And again, we want to promote this to our residents and our families and our loved ones that are a part of New Haven and the family at New Haven, but we also want to open this up to the community because, you know, we want to reach out to those folks as well.
Well, thank goodness we have Medicare for our seniors. But by the same token, they could have made it a little bit easier to understand.
No doubt.
It's complicated from the very beginning.
It is. And somebody that's been in this business many years, it's still confusing.
Yeah.
It can be complicated.
Do you have to pre-register for that, Gary? What's the deal?
You do not. The event is open to the public. We're not taking any RSVPs. We'll have plenty of room at New Haven. So you're welcome to stop by.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people with questions.
Sure.
Probably some people with a ton of questions.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. So what else you got going?
So we are... we have our spaghetti dinner coming up. So throughout the year at New Haven, we host a lot of events, fundraising events, to benefit the Alzheimer's Association.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what we do at New Haven and the folks that we care for, that's of our top priority. So... throughout the year, we host several benefits, and our one that's coming up in November is on November 7th. It's Election Day. We're hosting our annual spaghetti dinner.
Don't you usually do that on Election Day, Tracy? Am I thinking that?
I think this year is a little different.
No?
So hopefully those that are voting stop by and pick up a dinner. We have takeout. And actually, if you wear your sticker that says, I voted, you get a dollar off your menu, price.
We're thinking outside of the box this year.
You know, that's a good idea.
I know.
Because everybody gets one of those little things.
I know.
Yeah,
and it's still a great buy for $8 for adults. If you bring your sticker that you voted, you get a dollar off the price. And like Tracy said, you can eat in. We'll have, you know, our community room set up for dining. Or you can simply take out as well. So.
What's on the menu? Probably a salad and some bread. Huh?
Yeah.
Yep, spaghetti, salad, bread, and then we'll have dessert, and then there will be drinks provided also.
I don't need dessert when I have a spaghetti dinner.
Me too.
I eat all the spaghetti I can possibly stuff in.
Yep. And it's you're welcome to have seconds at our event. Won't cost you anything extra. But again, all the proceeds go to the Alzheimer's Association.
Pay at the door, right? There's no...
Pay at the door. You don't have to RSVP. You pay right at the door.
Election Day, what time?
Election Day from 5 to 7 o'clock, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Dinner time.
Yeah, dinner time.
So we're hoping to raise at least by end of the year for the Alzheimer's Association, $4,000. We actually raised a little over $1,600 from our fall festival, where Chef George actually came up and did the food, and we had pork and sauerkraut, mashed potatoes.
Here we go again.
Yeah, he did the work.
I feel like one of Pavlov's dogs here. Pork and sauerkraut.
Oh, we had hot dogs, pierogies.
Well, I think it's important to note the partnership that we have with George, because George on several occasions has helped us at our events that we host at New Haven. We come down to the Tanglewood and support George during his pork chop dinner. Our residents make.
Yeah, we actually bake over probably about 20 cakes each month for George, and then we bring a busload of residents down, anywhere between 10 to 14 residents from our memory care and our senior living side. So they get to come down and enjoy a dinner and help participate in serving the cakes. And one of our residents in particular, she jumped in and started cutting the cakes and serving. So
I wonder
nice.
If that's where my cake came from last Wednesday, because I had the stuffed pork chop.
I did.
I thought it was a mistake. There were two small pieces of cake in my dessert thing I got to take out.
Did Kate pick that up for you?
No, it wasn't Kate.
She was down
kidding?
There.
Would she buy me dinner? Are you kidding me? That would be the last thing on her mind. I'm just kidding, of course. No, but I had a piece of chocolate, a little piece now. It wasn't, thank goodness it wasn't big, because the temptation is there. But I had a little piece of strawberry cake and a little piece of chocolate cake. I said, wow.
Yep,
somebody must have made a mistake.
It would have been from New Haven, Dave.
Yeah.
It was delish. Yeah. Listen, I want to talk about Alzheimer's for a sec when we come back here, but I need to take a break. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler. It's a relatively new service. It's pretty neat, I think, because, I don't know, any time that you have to mail a package, what are you doing? You're hunting for the wrapping paper. But, hey, Ethel, where's that special tape that we need? You know, and the mailing labels, where are the... At Going Postal Butler, they package your items for shipping, which is great if you have one or two, but my goodness, if you have a lot of them, it's a godsend. They're located on Newcastle Road, just off Newcastle Road, behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. in the Shockey Mini Storage area there, 140 Shockey Lane. Now, they have other stuff besides packaging your items for shipping. They offer a copying service, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes, greeting cards. An official notary is there. Sometimes you need that when you're mailing stuff. You can even grab a lottery ticket while you're there, too. Listen, I'll give you their phone number here in a sec. You can call them and see if their services can help you out. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center. And they do it all for you. By the way, you can ship it any way you want. They'll package your items for shipping, and you can ship it FedEx or UPS or U.S. Postal Service, whatever you want to do. Here's the phone number, 724-841-0044. 724-841-0044. Going postal, Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going postal, Butler. We'll be back to talk a little bit more with our guests here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 3737. The pick three, 664-664. The pick four, 8426. The pick five, 33339. The wild ball for each of those is 5. The treasure hunt, 2, 13, 14, 19, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. The bus. We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. The bus. We're going your way.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back, listeners. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Nice to have several guests here on this segment of the program. We're getting an update on a lot of things that are happening over the next few weeks into early November, including what we were just talking about to benefit the Alzheimer's Association as an Election Day spaghetti dinner at New Haven Court at Clearview. Tracy Venzel, is this for the Regional Alzheimer's Association? I've had guests from the Pittsburgh regional office.
Yes, you're talking about the Pittsburgh chapter. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, they do a lot of good work.
Yes, we do a lot of seminars with them and education pieces that we, you know, everyone from New Haven go and attend. Mm-hmm.
This is a condition that worries a lot of people.
It's a very terrible disease.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we didn't even know about it 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that people had the condition. We just didn't know about it. And, right. I think probably when the late Ronald Reagan came forward with his diagnosis is when it really started to become more well-known, you know.
Yeah, got a lot of attention when that occurred.
Yeah, it did. So you can help out that cause by checking out the Election Day spaghetti dinner from 5 to 7 p.m. after you vote. Go after you vote because you get a buck off with your little sticker there.
Yeah.
Election Day. Boy, it's hard to believe it's Election Day again already.
I know. It's crazy. It's November.
Yeah. And that brings up the age-old question. Why do we vote on Tuesdays here in the United States? Nobody else does.
Yeah. It's a great question that I never thought about.
European countries, they vote on a weekend.
Yeah.
When most people aren't working.
Working. True.
Doesn't that make sense?
True.
As George Washington, Ben Franklin, somebody came up and said, how can we make it, what can we do that would really perplex people? Let's vote on a Tuesday. I want to talk a little bit about something we mentioned earlier, but we have folks who join us midway, especially folks who listen to the radio in the car. You may have just hopped in. There's also a Halloween dinner dance coming up to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project, and that's the Saturday of Halloween weekend. Well, we can refer to it that way, right, yeah. Marlena, Halloween weekend?
Yeah, definitely.
28th, so 29, 30, Halloween would be on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday, yeah.
Hey, got to get up and go to work on Wednesday morning. Who's going to go to a Halloween party on Tuesday night?
Exactly, yeah.
So this will be, again, at Tanglewood, and you would like advanced ticket buys for this, right?
I would like it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we may have them at the door, but I would rather get a better count. Because, I don't want to turn anybody away. I want to get as many people there as we can.
Where can you get them?
If you're going to pay cash, you can get them at the Tanglewood, or you can get them at Amy Jewelers. If you want to use your credit card or your debit card, you can go on Eventbrite. It's Halloween Dinner Dance .eventbrite, I think. But even if you just go on Eventbrite and you search Halloween or Butler events, it'll come up.
That is the 28th. There are several events coming up at the Tanglewood Center just off Hanson Avenue starting October 14th. Which is this weekend, for goodness sakes.
This coming weekend.
Yeah, this is the 11th. I'm still getting used to the fact that it's October, to be honest with you, really. And here we are almost to the middle of the month. That's a dinner dance, music by Mr. 60s, dinner by Chef George Roth, who's with us here in the studio today. That's this coming Saturday. And then you've got an extra stuffed pork chop dinner coming up. George, right?
Right. Dinner the third month of the... third week of the month.
Wednesday, October 18th.
Right. But we're not doing pork chops.
Oh.
We're doing roast turkey and stuffing, homemade ham loaf, cheesy mashed potatoes, green beans, coleslaw, rolls, butter, and dessert. And by the way, as well as these folks donate cakes for our pork chop dinner. I have to say, Zanella's Auto Parts Store and store out on 38, they donate the dinner rolls for our functions. Mm. So I'd be remiss not to mention... our good friends out there.
And that's Wednesday of next week. And then Saturday of next week, the 21st, you've got your Mystery Dinner Theater.
Mystery Dinner Theater.
Tanglewood, yeah. Dial M for Murder. That was a Hitchcock movie, by the way. You know that?
Yeah, it was one of his most famous, I think.
Yeah, did you ever see it? It's good.
No,
yeah.
But they
tell
me that.
You're not a Hitchcock fan?
Oh, I watched it when I was younger. I did.
Hitchcock made a lot of movies before he ever came to America. He was English.
Mm-hmm.
Made a lot of films in Britain, black and white. Pretty good. You know, 39 Steps. I'm a big Hitchcock fan. Dial M for Murder, live with the food at the Tanglewood Center, October 21st. And by the way, you have something coming up in November.
Yes,
Saturday,
November
11th at the Tanglewood.
November 11th is our Saturday night dinner dance, and we're having the Jaggers. This is their second appearance there. They were sold out the first time. And they will sell out this time. You're advised to get your tickets early. There's also a dinner with that. Don't think I've made up the menu yet, but I might come up with something different. My stuffed steak goes fantastic down there, but I'm not sure I'm going to do that.
It's the Jaggers.
The Jaggers.
You could have Oreos and people would come. That's yeah. All. That's all you need, the Jaggers. And, of course, to recap at New Haven Court, the Election Day spaghetti dinner. But before that, you don't have a dinner. You have an informational event coming up, Gary Renrick, next week.
We do. We do. So on Monday, October 16th, we're going to be holding and hosting a Medicare 101 seminar with Chuck Rubino. He's going to be our presenter that day to talk about everything Medicare and insurance.
No charge for that?
No charge. Do not need to RSVP. All guests are welcome.
Well, thanks, folks, for being here today. It's a lot of fun. Tracy Vinsel, Gary Renwick, Chef George Schroth. We have to get you a chef's hat, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I quit wearing it a while back. I was afraid to go bald.
Ah. Because, you know, I think that's what you need. It's all those TV chefs, they wear those things, you know. Except the guy with the orange hair, whatever his name
is. Yeah.
What a wacko, huh? Also, Marlena Garver with us here today. We thank you all. It's been great fun. We try to have fun here on the program, too, you know,
yeah.
In addition to passing on information to folks. And thank you all for joining us on the first portion of the program today. Boy, it seems like a long time ago. And we had open talk and good discussion today about a variety of things, from the national anthem to whatever. And also Christine Forner talking with us about dealing with grief and even the guilt feelings that some people have after the tragedy in Las Vegas. A lot of good tips there. Let me tell you what's coming up on tomorrow's program. It'll be the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Michael Dittman will be here tomorrow, and some other folks, too. I think Sue Caller from the Butler Little Theater. They're going to be doing a Reader's Theater there, and it's coming up pretty soon. I think it's next weekend. I'm not sure. We'll get the details. Connor McPherson's The Weir will be read live on stage. And also tomorrow, we're scheduled to talk with guests from Butler County Community College. I'm not sure whether it's President Nick Neupower or not. I think so. Thanks for being with us today. Make your own sunshine this afternoon, because